the lessons from Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. We confess this of Jesus in the Nicene Creed. Jesus is eternally begotten of the Father before all worlds. He's not a creature like us, but he is true and eternal God, second person of the Holy Trinity, who existed before creation. Along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, he was active in creating and making all things. He receives equal honor with the Father and the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1 tells us in no uncertain terms, he was in the beginning with God, he was with God, and he was God. This is truth and reality. Sinful human beings can deny it and reject it, but it is true nevertheless. On Judgment Day, there will be no denying it and no rejecting it, but living with the consequences of either faith or unbelief. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Saints and angels in heaven will bow down. All on earth will bow down to him. Even the demons will have to bow down and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Demons have to depart when Jesus casts them out. He demonstrated this many times during his earthly life. Demons were terrified of Jesus. Sinners must also be terrified of Jesus until we come to know him as Savior. When Peter was confronted with his sin, he said, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Isaiah had a vision of the Lord above the temple and said, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips." And then the angel in the vision cleansed his mouth and so that he could speak the word of God. And later in Isaiah's book, we have the record of these wonderful prophecies that Jesus would be born of a virgin. He would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah knew the Messiah as true God. 1700 years ago, do the math, that's 325 AD. There was a lot of discussion in the Christian church about who Jesus really is. Emperor Constantine gathered the bishops from all around the Mediterranean to discuss this question. How do we talk about Jesus? And here is where there was that great debate between Arius and Athanasius, and it was brought to a conclusion. Arius wanted to make sure we Christians worship only one God. The problem was that he overemphasized this so much that he overstated the idea that only the God the Father is eternal. His infamous error says that Christ then was a creature made by the Father, that he did not always exist, and that there was a time when the Son of God was not. Athanasius rightly insisted that Christ is true God, eternally begotten by the Father. It's a mystery that we cannot understand, but it is the truth of the Bible and crucial to our being saved by the blood of God, the holy and precious blood of Jesus. Scripture simply says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Simple, simple words, but deep and profound and saving truth and reality. Only because Jesus is true God shall every knee bow to him. If we worship Jesus and he is not God, we are committing idolatry and blasphemy. But Jesus is God, as is the Holy Spirit, so we worship them together
and glorify him. There is only one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, a mystery that we cannot understand, but what Scripture tells us. There is only one Savior in two natures, God and man. And St. Peter boldly proclaimed, there is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But salvation in Jesus is then sure and true and a great comfort to us and a great certainty to us. We can know that we are children of God because God tells us in his word and in holy baptism. He places his holy and saving name on us. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And in his epistle, Peter writes, baptism also now saves us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus sent his apostles to proclaim this message of repentance and forgiveness. This is the message of the Christian church. The message of the Christian church is not be good or else, or God loves you but we don't. It's not we're better than other people. The message is come and join us in God's hospital of forgiveness and mercy, his healing grace. Be with us who are also sick and dying because of our sins, but know the mercy, the healing, the saving of God's holy gospel. It is for this mercy, this grace, this salvation that we bow down before Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with thankfulness and praise. God deserves all glory and praise from us, not so much because he is powerful, but because he is merciful. We believe that Jesus is Lord because he also became man, was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He died and was buried. He also rose again, conquering death. His power over death proclaims him to be God and Lord. Death must bow before Jesus. Satan must bow before Jesus. Every knee shall bow before him. And most importantly, we believe that Jesus is our Savior because he lived, died, and rose again for us. We bow our knee before Jesus who saved us from eternal death and who gives us eternal life. Praise and glory and honor belong to God and to the Lamb forever and ever. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thanks be to God. Amen.